Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. My husband betrayed me at the altar for my twin sister. A Marriage of Betrayal, Infidelity, and Revenge Romance is a contemporary romance novel by Via Corby and part of the Her Marriage in Crisis series. The book centers on a highly emotional betrayal plot in which a bride discovers her husband cheating with her twin sister during the wedding reception, turning a public celebration into a humiliating crisis. Built around infidelity, family treachery, and emotional fallout, the novel follows the protagonist as she moves from shock and heartbreak towards self-protection and eventual recovery. It belongs to the betrayal and revenge romance niche, where the appeal comes from intense conflict, moral reckoning, and the promise of a hard-won happy ending. The story is designed for readers who want high angst, dramatic relationship breakdowns, and a heroine who responds to betrayal by reclaiming her own agency rather than simply enduring the damage. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, wedding day betrayal is the novel's central emotional engine. The book's defining premise is the collapse of a marriage at the exact moment it should be celebrated. By placing the betrayal at the altar and during the reception, the novel uses public humiliation to intensify private heartbreak. This is not only a romantic conflict but also a social one, because the heroine is forced to process infidelity in front of witnesses, family, and community expectations. That choice matters structurally. The wedding setting raises the stakes immediately and eliminates any slow build toward crisis. Readers of this subgenre are usually drawn to that kind of direct, high-impact inciting event because it creates instant emotional friction and a clear reason for the heroine's transformation. The betrayal is also more than a simple cheating plot. It becomes a symbolic destruction of trust, ceremony, and identity. The marriage is exposed as unstable before it can even begin, which gives the story a sharp, unforgiving tone and establishes the revenge romance framework early. Secondly, twin sister betrayal and the collapse of family trust. What distinguishes this book from a standard cheating romance is the involvement of the heroine's twin sister. That detail turns the conflict into a layered family betrayal rather than a single broken relationship. In romance fiction, betrayal by a spouse is painful, but betrayal by a sibling introduces deeper emotional consequences because it attacks the heroine's sense of belonging and family loyalty at the same time. The twin sister element also creates a powerful mirror effect. The two women are presented as close enough to be interchangeable in appearance, yet morally divided by their choices. This intensifies the protagonist's humiliation and raises questions about whether anyone in her closest circle can be trusted. The story therefore operates on two levels: marital collapse and family rupture. That dual betrayal is central to the book's appeal, because it pushes the emotional conflict beyond a private affair and into a broader drama about broken kinship, silence, and the cost of being surrounded by people who enable deception. Thirdly, revenge romance balanced with self-reclamation. Although the title includes revenge, the available descriptions indicate that the book is not simply about punishment. The heroine's arc is framed around choosing herself, which shifts the emphasis from retaliation to recovery. This is an important distinction in betrayal romance because revenge can be written either as catharsis or as self-destructive obsession. Here, and confronting the power structure around her, that makes the narrative less about revenge as an end in itself and more about reclaiming agency after manipulation. In this kind of romance, the heroine's strength is defined not by how much damage she can inflict, but by how clearly she sees the betrayal and how decisively she exits its control. The result is a story that fits the genre's dramatic expectations while still centering personal dignity, emotional survival, and the refusal to keep a broken marriage alive at any cost. Fourthly, forced proximity, single dad romance, and the move toward found family. The book also includes romance tropes such as forced proximity, single dad hero, and found family, which broaden it beyond betrayal alone. These elements matter because they provide a contrasting emotional environment to the original marriage crisis. After the rupture, the heroine is not simply left in isolation. The narrative moves her into a new relational space where connection can be rebuilt on different terms. Forced proximity creates a situation in which emotional resistance has to coexist with daily interaction, allowing trust and attraction to develop gradually. The single dad aspect adds responsibility and domestic realism, making the love interest a figure associated with caregiving rather than deception. Found family, meanwhile, offers a thematic correction to the heroine's biological family betrayal, where relatives fail her, a chosen support system may become the site of healing. Together, these tropes help the novel transition from destruction to repair. They also explain why the story appeals to readers who want both high drama conflict and a structured path toward emotional safety and a satisfying ending. Lastly, why this book fits the Her Marriage in Crisis series formula. This title belongs to a larger series built around marriages under extreme strain, and that context is essential to understanding its structure. The series' formula appears to combine infidelity, family secrets, emotional confrontation, and eventual romantic resolution, often with a strong emphasis on groveling, separation, and self-protection. That makes this book part of a recognizable niche rather than a standalone experiment. The series' identity matters because it signals to readers what kind of experience to expect: a fast-moving betrayal premise, emotionally heightened scenes, and a heroine who emerges with greater clarity about her worth. Within that framework, this installment stands out for pushing the betrayal into one of the most charged settings possible, a wedding, and by making the betrayer the heroine's twin sister as well as her husband. This deepens the sense of violation and makes the book especially effective for readers who want an uncompromising version of marriage in crisis romance. Its category value lies in how efficiently it delivers the core pleasures of the subgenre: angst, confrontation, moral reckoning, and a final emotional reset. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who specifically enjoy intense betrayal romance, marriage and crisis fiction, and stories where emotional damage is followed by self-reclamation. It will appeal most to audiences that want a high angst setup, a clearly defined cheating scandal, and a heroine who responds with resolve rather than passivity. Readers who like revenge romance will find the premise especially direct, while readers who prefer a later shift toward healing and new love will appreciate the inclusion of found family, forced proximity, and a single dad hero. In a crowded subgenre, the book stands out because it combines two of the most incendiary betrayal dynamics available: spousal infidelity and twin sister treachery. Its strength lies in delivering sharp conflict, clear moral imbalance, and a satisfying movement from humiliation toward personal agency. For readers seeking an emotionally charged romance with a visible crisis arc and a resolution grounded in empowerment, this title fits the category well. If you would like to support Via Corvi, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.